have been talking about the Lord's Prayer, and today is the very last message in that series. Lord, teach us to pray, when we've been asking God to teach us to pray, looking at the Lord's Prayer. That is what Jesus gave his disciples when they asked him to teach them to pray. And today we're talking about, Lord, deliver us from evil. This is that final statement of the Lord's Prayer as Jesus delivered it to us. And of course, throughout this whole Lenten season, we've been learning from Jesus how we should pray, and in turn, how this shapes our lives today. And today, we're learning from this final petition, this final request that we find in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, deliver us from evil. Well, I can tell you, last spring, about a year ago, we had this congregational vision process. And part of that process was to study our community. And we interviewed different leaders within our community. We wanted to find out what was their take on the problems, the challenges facing our city. One person I talked to was named Steve Hafner. He's the Fort Wayne Police Department Deputy Chief of Police for the Southwest Division, I think they call it. And he told me something interesting. He said that on average, every month, the Fort Wayne Police Department responds to 130 separate calls for people who overdose on drugs. And 13 of those, on average, are fatal. Wow. Lord, deliver us from evil. Another person I spoke with was Park Ginder. He's the principal at Homestead High School that way, just down the street. He told me that students at that school face all sorts of problems that you and I may never expect. There's students there at high school, even as high schoolers, who suffer from parental neglect and abuse. Lord, deliver us from evil. Also at that school, he mentioned that there's a problem with illicit drugs, as there often is, but even heroin, like hard stuff. Lord, deliver us from evil. There's lots of young people who don't understand themselves yet. They don't understand relationships, and yet they jump into relationships, often sexual relationships, and they end up hurting themselves and others. Lord, deliver us from evil. Now, we know that God is at work in our world. We know that God is at work in us and through us, and indeed, we pray in the Lord's Prayer that God would let his kingdom come, that he would make his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we know that he is working. We know that God is at work here among us and in our community, and yet we also know that God is not the only one working in our world and in our lives. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus also teaches us to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we know as the people of God that there are, in fact, evil forces in this world. We know that evil forces oppose the work and the will of the Spirit of God. That means we're in a fight. We're in a fight. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And as spiritual people, we recognize, and Scripture testifies, that the problems and pains of our community, you know, they're not simply the results of poor choices that people make or do not make. Yes, people around us make poor choices. We make poor choices. But there is also the spiritual reality of evil in our world. We are not fighting against people, that is flesh and blood, right? We are struggling against spiritual forces of evil. Ephesians chapter 6 is that great chapter on the armor of God. And so Paul, he says, you know, one defense against these evil forces is to put on the belt of truth in Scripture, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And I could talk about all those things, but that would be a whole other sermon or sermon series. So I'll set that aside for a moment, because after all that, Paul tells us that our response to the spiritual forces of evil in the world is prayer. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And so our prayers are more than just obedience. When we pray, they're more than things that we do because we're supposed to. Our prayers are something more than just something we do because we've always done it that way. In fact, our prayer is an act of struggle for good in our world, for God's good in our world. When we pray, we are rebelling against everything that's ugly in our world. When we pray, we're fighting against everything that destroys life and wholeness. And it's important for us to understand what evil is and what evil does. We know that as the people of God, we do in fact have an enemy, but people are never our enemy. The Apostle Peter tells us, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And Jesus said the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And this thief or this lion, this enemy of ours is, in fact, the devil. And the evil that we experience is the destruction of life. Sadly, we often become blind to this evil that exists around us. Or sometimes we just get accustomed to it, as if life-destroying evil is an ordinary thing that is supposed to be here in our world. But in fact, it's not. Sometimes, sadly, we're tempted to blame other people for the evil that is in this world. We're tempted to blame people who embrace evil in our world. But we have to remember that people are never our real enemy. In fact, those who embrace evil in our world are trapped by it. They're blind to the fact that they serve evil and they're powerless to do anything about it. Because truly, the only one who can fight the evil that fills our world is Jesus. Jesus told us that he came to offer the opposite of evil and destruction. The last half of that verse, John 10:10, Jesus said the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but then he said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it to the full. So that where evil steals, Jesus gives. And where evil would kill, Jesus heals. And where evil destroys, Jesus builds up. And we have this this life, this forgiveness and salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We know that Jesus gives us victory over death and the grave, and he has made a way for us to see the truth about evil, and he has sent the Holy Spirit in order for us to do something about it. As the people of God, we are the ones who know the truth about good and evil. We know the truth about life and death, light and darkness, and we have the power to offer people an alternative to living in bondage to the evil of this world. And now, of course, today is Palm Sunday. If you've been wondering when I would get there, today is Palm Sunday. And it's so appropriate as we're talking about, Lord, deliver us from evil. Because a few minutes ago, we read from Matthew chapter 21. And we read this wonderful story where Jesus enters into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. A large crowd is there. They throw their cloaks upon the ground. They throw palm branches down. They wave palm branches in the air. They make a path for Jesus. And the whole atmosphere is one of celebration. And the people are saying, look, our king has arrived. He's here. The man in charge has come. And the people shout, Hosanna, which is a Hebrew word, which means save us. Save us, Lord. They shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. And so they're connecting Jesus to that historical line of David, the great king of Israel, who was the great king of Israel in ancient times. And so they're making Jesus their king this day on Palm Sunday. The irony, we see this knowing the rest of the story, is that the irony is that the city that celebrates Jesus today is going to arrest him on Thursday. They're going to give him an unjust trial, and on Friday they'll put him on the cross. And I think that happens in part because nobody here celebrating on Palm Sunday, on that first Palm Sunday, nobody really understood who Jesus is. They think that Jesus has come to rule their nation. They think that Jesus has come to just fight back against the Romans. But in fact, Jesus is king over all creation. Jesus isn't just a king. He is the King of Kings. Jesus is the one whom the Apostle Paul tells us. After his death and resurrection, Paul says God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, or you could say Master, or you could say King, to the glory of God the Father. The people gathered here on Palm Sunday, they recognize that they are welcoming their King, but they don't get just how powerful their new King is, and they don't get just what he's going to do in order to save them. Now, you and I know the rest of the story. We know that Jesus is going to the cross on Good Friday, that Jesus is going to rise again, and that by doing these things, Jesus is going to destroy the power of our enemy, the devil. That by doing this, Jesus is going to overcome all that evil in the world. And the good news for you and me today is that the King of Kings has come and that he's on our side. That is good news indeed. And the devil cannot stand against him. And so we pray. We can pray, Lord, deliver us from evil, and we know that he will. Now, while we wait because he hasn't done this in full yet, while we wait for Jesus to come again and finally throw down our enemy forever, we need to keep praying. There's a reason we say in the Lord's Prayer regularly. There's a reason that the Lord taught his disciples to pray, "Lord, deliver us from evil." Jesus teaches us the importance of persistence in prayer by sharing a parable in Luke chapter 18. And here it is. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And Jesus said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused," that is, the judge refused her, this wicked judge. "But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.'" She sounds like maybe a lady to be careful around, right? "And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you that he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So this was not a good judge. He did what he wanted, when he wanted. He sounds like kind of a cruel and selfish guy, and yet he was no match for this persistent widow. This widow was not a person of influence, a person of power or wealth, but she had one characteristic that counted for more than all of those other things. She had persistence, and she wore that judge down, just like dripping water will eventually wear a hole through the hardest rock. And so we're in a battle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, and we should know that victory won't often come like we expect. It's not often a neat, a quick thing for us. The reality of this battle calls us to keep at it, even when we don't see any progress. You know, you and I, we can't see what's happening in those heavenly realms around us. We can't see what's happening, so we need persistence. We're just called to fight and to keep fighting through prayer. And when we talk about persistent prayer, you know, I don't mean that we just keep saying lots and lots of empty phrases. I don't mean that our prayers need to be long and boring. In fact, Martin Luther said once, the shorter the prayer, the better. He said, the fewer words, the better prayer, he said. We don't need to make lengthy speeches to God. And when we pray persistently, all we do is we just keep talking to God. We share, as we've been talking about these last several weeks, we share with him what's on our hearts, what we see around us. And so we can continue to ask God to bring his way, his truth, and his life. And we can talk to God even about the evil that we see. We continue to ask him to deliver us from evil and others too. And we continue to ask God to make his desires and his will real. We do this with persistence. We ask over and over again, knowing that God will hear us. You can think about it this way. Now, here's maybe a good analogy. Think about a professional athlete. Let's say a baseball player, and let's make it a guy. He's a veteran, and that athlete has hit a baseball thousands of times in his career, probably. He's swung the bat tens of thousands of times, or even hundreds of thousands of times. And at some point, you know, that professional baseball player could just say, "You know what? I think I figured out how to swing the bat. I think I've got this down." He could just say, "I know how to swing, I know how to connect, I know how to hit. I don't need to practice anymore. I can just start showing up to games and do my thing." Let me ask you, will that guy remain a professional baseball player for very long? Probably not. And it's not just because the coach won't be happy. It's because, well, let me ask this too. Do you think, because this is kind of an important thought too, do you think that baseball player, before and after the day's batting practice, will he see any measurable difference in his swing? Just one day? Monday morning to Monday afternoon? No, probably not. But if that player would decide he just doesn't need to practice anymore, will you start to see a difference? Yes, yes, you will. It's not just because a coach won't be happy. It's because that practice actually makes a difference. It's, you know, we might not see a change in his swing from one day to the next, from morning to evening, but that practice is important. And so it's the same way with our prayer. The same way with our prayer. We pray with persistence. And sometimes we ask God to move in ways that we have asked him to move hundreds of times before, or even thousands of times before. And we might not see a difference from one day to the next, but you know what? Those prayers are important. Jesus says that this persistent widow in the story wore down the unjust judge. And if persistence can wear down a man who just doesn't care about this woman and her needs, well, won't our loving Father in heaven hear and answer the prayers of his people? Jesus says, yes, I tell you, God will see that they get justice and quickly. So in the face of evil that seems to be winning in our world, what we do is pray. Even though it seems as if the heavens are silent and nothing's happening, we pray. Even if it seems like there's no way to go forward in our lives, we pray. Even if your family and your friends say that you're foolish, they doubt your sanity for praying, we pray. Because prayer makes a difference. Persistent prayer has influence. Prayer changes events. Prayer changes people. And God doesn't show us the exact ways that prayer changes things, but we know that he is present. We know that he hears us, and we know that he's trustworthy. And we are called to trust in God's work as we pray. And God will answer. Prayer is not like, you know, rubbing Aladdin's lamp. There's no magic genie who suddenly appears and satisfies our every request. God isn't the vending machine in the sky waiting for us to say just the right thing so that prayer will drive out every evil we face. We're not in control of the answers. But we can't give up just because a situation doesn't change in the way we ask. We can't give up and say, I guess it just must not be God's will for my neighbor to come to know Jesus, to be freed from alcoholism. We can't say that, so we continue to fight with our prayers. And we pray, deliver us from evil, even though evil still seems to prevail in our world. Evil didn't go away in the time of Jesus. He suffered it. He felt it. Evil didn't go away in the time of Paul or in the time of Augustine or in the time of Martin Luther, and it probably won't go away today. We pray for God to push back the evil and bring his truth still. And we know that the answers will come, but we can't control when they will come or how they will come. And so we pray. When we pray for our family, we're investing in the expansion of God's kingdom and the end of evil. When we pray for our neighbor, we're fighting for victory in their lives and the fall of evil that blinds them. When we pray for the school down the road, we are pushing forward God's truth and pushing back the evil that can sometimes seem to rule there. When we pray for the students and the families of Sunshine Christian Academy, we're fortifying them against the attacks of the evil one. And when we pray for our own congregation, we are asking our great King to protect and save us and to ultimately one day make all things new. And so we pray, Hosanna, save us, to the King of Kings. Amen. Let's stand.